8:03 on a Wednesday. Halford Bruff, Sportsnet 650.
It's the Rage in the Mornings with Halford and Bruff.
I like how you waited till the breakdown before talking. Thank you. Thank you for being patient.
This is always an underrated part of the week, is the Wednesday metal with Murph, and then the dogs just quietly do the headbanging behind the glass. Andy's headbanging is adorable because he has this wry little grin on his face. Mm-hmm. He's like, I am enjoying the metal.
Well, this takes me back to my touring days. This is the kind of music we played. So,
Isn't what you played?
Yeah.
We were
pretty heavy.
Which band had the best headbangers?
Slayer.
Yeah, they're Napalm Death, Slayer, Megadeth.
Megadeth.
I mean, there's so many bands, metal bands from the 80s that sort of just define that era.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to move past them. They're the best.
We're coming to you live from the Kintec studio. Kintec Footwear and Orthotics, Canada's favorite orthotics provider, supported by over 2,500 five-star Google reviews. Find your perfect fit at kintec.net. Do you think you got used to the headbanging? Like, there are some guys that would be like, I'm going to do this headbanging for the entire song, maybe the entire concert. Does that give you neck problems?
Yes.
Do you get a headache? Do you have to work your way up?
You got to pick your spots. It was a carefully choreographed performance. You can't just go all out for 30 minutes or you will die.
Yeah, right. Like you stop doing it and then you look up, you're like, ooh, now I got the dizzies.
Yeah, oh yeah.
Like
oh, yeah.
You get vertigo and everything. Oh, yeah. It's like, what'd you do? I went to a Megadeth concert.
Yeah.
We see this a lot.
There's a guy sitting down with his eyes closed and a sleep mask on. It doesn't get more metal than that.
Could you please calm down? I'm trying to listen.
Murph's going to join us in just a moment here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. I need to tell you that hour three of this program, which features Dan Murphy from Sportsnet, is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the good old-fashioned interweb, campbell-pound.com today. And also, the entirety of the Halford and Bruff Show is brought to you by the Dallari family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dallari difference today by visiting your nearest Dallari Acura dealer today. Do we have Murph on the line yet? Is he here?
We're
Andy's
still efforting
calling right now.
He was talking to you guys. You were distracting him.
It's fine. I was just asking a question.
Halford, I want you to lay out the scenario.
Got really defensive there all of a sudden. Andy's gesticulating wildly. Yeah, what?
I want you to lay out the scenario for Murph about the final two games of the season or even the final game of the season, and you ask Murph how he thinks that would play out.
Okay. First question? We'll just leave with that.
Say we were discussing this earlier.
Yeah, okay.
Do you think this is possible? And if it does happen, how do you think it's going to play out? You're better explaining these things. I just tend to ramble.
It's true.
I'm like, Murph, final game, Arizona. What happens then? Bottom 11.
Betting odds. Yeah, I know. I'll explain it. Don't worry. Murph's going to join us in just a second.
You're talking metal, so we got to wait here.
No, that's fair. That's understandable.
Yeah, me and Murph were having a moment. Sorry. He's ready now, though.
Was it a good moment?
It was a great moment.
You're so you got such...
I love talking about metal with Murph.
You have the best grin. You're so happy. That's the thing. We said, you know, how do you describe Andy's life? And it was like, one was cozy, two was sugar, and three is smiles.
Well, I got given a PS5 yesterday as well, so I'm still high on
you
that.
You did?
For my birthday, yes.
Oh, right.
Wait,
it's
your birthday?
Tomorrow.
When's your birthday?
My birthday's technically tomorrow, but I got the gift yesterday.
He couldn't wait. He saw
that. That is definitely his way of saying, don't forget my birthday tomorrow.
No. I know. This is Andy.
I don't know if one of you guys have a 4K TV back there.
You know when
listeners have a 4K TV
kids get closer to Christmas and they can't control the excitement, so you let them open a gift?
One gift?
The day early. You did that with your birthday.
Yes, it's true.
How old are you?
I'm 39.
He did that on his 39th birthday.
Yeah.
3 days in advance of his birthday.
Yes, yes.
Okay, Murph's waiting patiently on hold here. Joining us now, a presentation of Freeway Mazda. It's Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Morning, Murph. How are you?
I'm good, fellas. How are you guys?
Good. You tired? I know you flew in late from St. Louis last night.
Yeah, I think I got home about 2 a.m.-ish. A little tired, but not too bad. I got up with the dog and the child. The dogs and the child woke me up, and now I'm driving to go to the gym. But the birthday thing, we made fun of Shorty a lot when it was his birthday because it seemed like it turned into a birthday week. He told everybody.
Yeah, he's one of those.
Last week, it was like he was 5 years old.
We've talked. Andy has birthday month. Andy had birthday month. The entire month.
How old are you now, John?
Exactly. Oh my God, it was so funny. Before we talk about the Canucks, are we going to be able to talk about Cheech?
Yeah. Do you want to start with that?
I do. I don't want it to get lost in the shuffle. Because I think people see Cheech on TV and they have an idea what he is like. And I would like to say that he is exactly what you think he's like from TV. He is the exact same person you watch. He is the funniest guy, the most genuine guy. He is the guy that loves to make fun of himself before anyone else, but he'll make fun of other people too. And I've said this before, I've seen him in a bad mood once. It was literally a 5-minute snit he had one time because we went to a restaurant and we got our beers and they wouldn't serve us food. Literally in 20 years, that's the only time I've seen him kind of less than happy. And that was in Columbus. In 20 years. No joke. I've probably spent, I was trying to ballpark it because I think I'm on the road 100 to 120 days a year. So, you know, some of that is playoffs when I'm not with Cheech and Shorty. So I'm going to say 100 days a year I'm with him on the road. So let's say that's 20 years, 2,000 days. That's rather incredible that the guy doesn't get grumpy over that time. And he is the first to pick up a check. He is humble, funny, genuine. Anyway, it's just like I couldn't imagine having a better road partner. Because Shorty and I, you know, Shorty can be a little princess sometimes, and he can be upset and cranky and moody. Mm-hmm. And I'm sure I have my moments. But I guess if you're going to say the culture carrier of our line was Cheech. And, the absolute best. Whatever you think you know of him, it's that, you know, plus 100.
How many times do you think the three of you have been together and just like been uncontrollably laughing?
Oh my God. It happens at least once a road trip. It happens at least once where someone says something or we're reminded of something or we make fun of one of us. Like when we're on the air, it happens. If I mess up two times, three times a show. And the problem is that as soon as I make a mistake, my mic is cut. And those two guys make fun of me. I have no rebuttal because I can't say anything because the audio guys already cut my mic. So those guys, they think they're superior with, you know, what Cheech with his Queen's, you know, English degree and Shorty with his mom, who's I think was an English teacher. They think that I'm beneath them, which I probably am with my education. We have laughed at least once a road trip to the point where we're almost crying. And most of the time it's because of Cheech.
So I do want to ask you about this because I know the dynamic between the three of you and I know that it's such a unique work environment because...
So, hey, I'm among the three of us. See, and I would only know that because of those two idiots.
Right.
Between
there you go.
Two among three, right?
See, me and you, Murph.
They browbeat me this stuff, by the way. So, go on.
No, okay. I'm glad that you're bringing this dynamic up because it's important to understand. Yeah. When Cheech announced he was not going to do regional Canucks broadcasts anymore, you tweeted out, I'm not ready to talk about it yet. And then I noticed throughout the following days, there were a lot of tweets. It felt like it was a very emotional time. Is that fair to classify it as such? Like it was emotional. And I think part of it has to do with,
for sure.
Yeah. And now you're ready to talk about it. And we made it front and center. This is more than just parting ways with a coworker or a buddy. It feels like that to me anyway.
Well, for sure. I mean, I have spent as much time, I've had as many dinners with John Garrett in the last 20 years, probably more than I've had with my family. That's just the way it is. Like, you spend so much time together on the road that it's, you know, it's you don't even really think about it. It's just like it's I couldn't imagine having this job and not liking your coworkers in this sense, the people you travel with every day. And I'll say Shorty, of course, in there. And even Greg Shannon, our producer, who's not on every road trip, but if you didn't enjoy, being on the road, the job would be insufferable. You'd be in your hotel room the whole time. You'd be by yourself. And, so when you think about it that way, Like, if this announcement would have came 10 years ago, I would seriously be thinking about my job. Like, I don't know who's coming in next. And I'm sure, you know, so I get along with most people, and I'm sure it's going to be great, but it's just never going to be the same as that guy. Like, he...
That's what you should say to the new person, by the way.
Yeah.
Hi, it's never going to be the same as the last guy, just so you know.
Exactly. Well, I mean, and of course, like, it could be great as well, but for 20 years, this guy has just made everything fun. He's fun.
Yep.
That's it. And I guess it's just the greatest way to put it. Like, there's, it's like he's the Brad Hunt of broadcasters. There's never a bad day, right? He's always smiling. He's always cracking a joke. He's always making fun of me or Shorty or himself. It's just always been, you cannot get downstairs in the lobby of the hotel and see him and not smile.
Right. We're speaking to Dan Murphy here on the Halford and Bruff Show on Sportsnet 650. Murph is a presentation of Freeway Mazda, Canada's number one consumer-rated Mazda dealer. Okay, Murph, the other thing that we wanted to do aside from talk about Cheech, which I'm glad we got to do front and center, was Bruff has a sort of thought exercise here, okay?
Okay.
So the last game of the regular season, which coincidentally I believe will also be Cheech's last call on the Regional Canucks broadcast, let's say there's this scenario at play where – if the Canucks beat Arizona, they move themselves out of the lottery. They don't have any chance to get any lottery odds whatsoever, even the 3% that you might to win the Connor Bedard sweepstakes.
For Connor Bedard, they're still going to be in the draft lottery, but their chances at Bedard, so they would move out of the bottom 11.
So win, and they're out. Lose, and they're in. Even if it's only a 2 or 3% chance, as the saying goes, you can't win it if you're not in it.
Yeah.
What do you do?
What do I do or what do they do?
How about both?
Well, I mean, I'm if I'm up a goal, I'm pulling my goaltender. Like, I want to be in it, right? I mean, what's the rule? Where, like, what's an automatic goal? Like, I don't even know. There's
you throw
a
your stick
time.
At a guy on a breakaway.
Yeah, like, I'm doing
sticks catapulting all over the place.
It. I'm doing everything to be in it. I am, like, stapling Quinn Hughes's pants to the bench. I am, you know, I want to be in it. But I'm not a player. Like, I can't tell you, like, the mood around the team right now is unlike anything I've seen since maybe they won, like, you know, the first 8 games under Boudreau last year.
Okay.
Like, it's, I haven't heard music on the plane forever. Like, forever. Like, there, back in the days of Willie Mitchell and the Twins, and Willie used to run the music, there was music on the plane all the time. Get on, you could hear it in the back. I hadn't heard that for a long time. I think I heard it a couple games after the Dallas game. I was like, I have not heard music, and the music was on. Like, these guys are back to having fun. Like, it was difficult this year.
Yeah.
That was a lot of losing. I mean, it's been difficult for a decade, but, I mean, it's just, it for the players... They don't think about the draft lottery. They don't think about, you know, what guy is going to come in and help them. They think about trying to win a game and beating the guys next, like, across from them. And they're doing that, and they're having fun. Like, was there any question in your mind last night that they were not going to tie it? You knew they were.
Yeah. When,
that's
when,
just the way
when,
it's going. Two
when,
and a half minutes left to pull the goalie.
When Petey and Kuzmenko hooked up on that goal, it was like, yeah, they're tying it for sure.
No question. And I was surprised they didn't win it. So, yes, like, I am fully on board with steering into a tank, like, as just, you know, just like, thinking it, and, like, common sense, and wanting the best draft pick, and wanting a chance at Bedard. Like, that is, I am in that camp. But they're not, right? They're, like, I'll say it this way. They need to, like, could you imagine if they would have made the coaching change and continued to crater and not won games? Like, how would they have felt going into the offseason?
Yeah.
Like, would they have been excited to come back next year? Like, I know what happened last season, too. I don't know if it's sustainable. I don't know if they'll have a good start next season. But it's still the better option than if they would have kept losing. You know, would Pettersson have been happy to talk about contract extensions? You know, like, just all – if you would have gone to the in the offseason fully negative and the players are negative, it would have been like – I don't – like, I can't get into their heads, but I can't imagine they would have looked forward to coming back next season. You know, maybe they lose seven straight again to start next season. I have no idea. But I know that they'll be more looking forward to come back in, you know, in for training camp than they would have if they would have kept losing. They're just in a better headspace. Maybe it's not sustainable, but I think as far as just from the player's point of view, this is a better situation.
Murph, thanks for joining us today. Thanks for those great words about Cheech. We can see the fun you guys have together, and I think it shines through on the broadcast, and we can see that you guys are friends and not just acting as friends on the broadcast, and I think that's what's made it so enjoyable for Canucks fans to watch the three of you, especially Cheech, not so much Shorty and you, but especially Cheech, but the three of you, you guys, I've seen you guys in action. I know the friendship is genuine and everyone else knows it's genuine because it's easy to see. So, you know, we're going to miss Cheech on the broadcast. So hopefully the new guy brings something. He's going to have to.
Yeah. Well, thank you for that. And it's totally, totally true. So, no pressure to the next guy, by the way.
Thanks, Murph. Appreciate it, bud.
Thanks, Murph.
All right, guys. Have a good day.
You too. Thanks. That's Dan Murphy. Presentation of Freeway Mazda, Canada's number one consumer-rated Mazda dealer. Okay.
Can I just do a quick PSA, sorry, because we're getting a bunch of texts about this.
What's up?
Apple Podcasts has been really slow the last 2 or 3 weeks. Like, literally, it can take up to an hour for the podcast to appear after I publish it. Nothing on our end. Nothing we can do about it. It's all on Apple. So I'm just suggesting to the listener, if you have a Spotify account, use that, because it's like within 5 minutes usually of me publishing it. Or if you don't have that and don't want to pay for that, just use Google Podcasts, because that's free for everybody, and listen that way. Because, yeah, I don't know what's going on with Apple, but they're just really slow right now.
Good PSA, Andy. Thanks for letting us know.
No problem.
Jason always gets very antsy when he sees texts come in to the Dunbar Lumber text message.
Andy, the podcasts.
Whenever someone says, there's no podcast, Jason, right away, there's no podcast.
And then I just want people to get their content.
That's
they
what
need to
Andy,
have their content.
That's what Andy was telling him. There's alternate methods.
I'm
so,
just thinking of the people that listen to us every day, and I feel they're important.
Yeah.
Now, Halford doesn't feel the listener is important.
I tell them to shut up, or I block
Halford's
them.
A realist.
Stop complaining, yes,
block. Commander.
Okay. We're got to do what we learns here.
I'm going to do a quick one.
Okay, but I'll, as another PSA, I'll remind everyone that we are giving away tickets to the Canucks and Flames on Friday night. The contest has not been decided yet. You can still win. There's still time. 650-650 is the Dunbar Lumber text line. Hashtag it WWL and add a ticket emoji to be entered into the grand prize draw for a pair of tickets. That's two tickets to the Canucks and Flames on Friday night, March 31st, Rogers Arena. Go.
I learned that a Canadian could soon own the NFL's Washington Commanders. Canadian billionaire... This is going to be a tough one here. Steve Apostolopoulos.
There you go.
Is he Greek, do you think?
No.
No?
Finnish.
German.
Finnish?
German.
Steve Apostolopoulos has submitted a fully funded $6 billion offer for the Commanders.
Wow.
ESPN is reporting this. Now, he's not the only group to have submitted a fully funded $6 billion offer for the Commanders, because there's a group, Josh Harris and Mitchell Rales, and that group includes Magic Johnson, have also submitted the same offer. Dan Snyder, the owner in Washington, he wanted $6 billion for the Commanders, and it looks like he's going to get it. Do you remember not long ago when Forbes would come out with their list of franchise valuations, and it would be like, the Dallas Cowboys might be worth, get this, $1 billion.
$1 billion used to be cool. I don't know what's cool now. $1 trillion?
The franchise values in professional sports, major league sports, and I would include like teams like Manchester United or Real Madrid, the New York Yankees, the Dallas Cowboys. Like, not all of them have sold in the last little while, so we don't officially know what they're worth, but... Yeah. It is crazy money. Of course, the Denver Broncos recently sold for $4.65 billion. If the Washington Commanders, whose brand has been beaten down pretty badly in that market, are worth $6 billion,
yeah.
What are the Dallas Cowboys worth?
$10 billion? $10
billion. Right?
A trillion? I think, literally, we're going to get to the point where... like I
like there's no way the Vancouver Canucks, for example, are worth anything less than what, $1.5 billion? If the Ottawa Senators, who still have to figure out an arena situation, are worth almost $1 billion.
Yep.
And that sale process should be wrapped up in the next little while, although there's no rush. They want to get it right. It is, it's just insane.
The Canucks are a $1.5 billion franchise.
Yeah.
I would say. And it's crazy that we are here because I, in my sad little world, I rewatched the 30 for 30, the John Spano one.
Oh, yeah.
Big shot. Where he tried to buy the you know what he tried to buy the Islanders for? He didn't have the money.
Was it like $100 million or
$140 million.
Yeah.
Pettersson's going to get that on his next extension.
So you're saying Pettersson could buy the Islanders?
If he wanted to, back in the mid-90s, he could have them. That could be the trade. He's like, don't give me an extension. Give me the Islanders. Mm-hmm. It's insanity how much money and how the valuations have skyrocketed. Like some people will say, Bettman hasn't done a good enough job of raising prices comparative to some of the other franchises. And then when you look at the salary, I mean, there's always that joke about the NHL salaries compared to
them.
I think it's all apples and oranges. When you look at where the NHL came from, where guys like John Spano, I remember Boots Del Biagio for Nashville. Those guys used to get, pardon the pun, their foot in the door.
Mm-hmm.
Boots got his foot in the door.
Yeah.
Because
it was a different league then.
Because you could buy for $140 million. I know these numbers sound gargantuan, but I mean, the reality of it is owning professional sports franchises, you used to get like a crazy old oil baron or something like that, a guy who had good money,
yeah,
comparatively speaking to the. But now it's like you need to be in this echelon of multi-billionaires.
And it's always so much bigger now than just owning the team. Like it's, I'm going to own the team. And then I'm going to develop billions of dollars worth of, you know, retail space and residential around the arena. It's always way bigger than the team.
Before we move out, so Apostolopoulos.
Yeah.
I remembered his name, but I didn't remember from where. And then I remember, you know what his dad did? He was the guy that bought the Pontiac Silverdome for like $600K.
Oh, that was him?
That was his dad. Yeah. I was like, I know this name from somewhere. Mm-hmm. So. Yeah, that was one of the greatest real estate purchases of all time.
They're going to say he opened a pizza joint.
No.
There's no way he paid that much for it.
$583,000.
$583,000. Oh, I thought you said million.
I said 600K.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I just rounded up. But I forgot.
And then, did you know what? He lived there.
I would. It's got stuff. It's got a bunch of bathrooms. How many bathrooms does it have? 97.
The Jumbotron is his TV?
Yeah. Like,
oh, my God. Can you imagine?
God, because I was trying to think. Like, I think there was a big WrestleMania there.
Yeah, WrestleMania 3.
At the Pontiac Silverdome.
Yeah, they set the indoor attendance record.
Could you imagine like being in this, like just living there? You know, you could go around, you could eat. Wouldn't it be great living in
a
dream?
Wasn't that the famous Macho Man, Ricky the Dragon Steamboat?
WrestleMania 3?
WrestleMania 3, I think it was. I think that was the famous match.
That was Ricky the Dragon Steamboat against Macho Man, and then that was finished with Hulk slamming Andre the Giant. That was all the same WrestleMania,
I believe so, yeah. Anyway.
I need to know this. Moo Cow.
Give us a Moo Cow. We probably got like three different things wrong in that. And it was like, oh, it was actually WrestleMania 4. Whatever. Send in your What We Learns into the Dunbar Lumber text line 650-650. Don't forget to include the ticket emoji if you want to be entered into the competition to win tickets to Friday night's game, Rogers Arena, Vancouver Canucks versus the Calgary Flames. We'll read you What We Learns and do all our fact-checking on the other side of the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.
Get smarter when you listen to Hockey Talk, the Hockey PDOcast with Dmitry Filipovich. Subscribe and download the show on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Now for my favorite part of the show. Well, that's a talk to the audience. Oh, God, this is always dead.
Wednesday. Happy Wednesday, everybody. Halford Brough, Sportsnet 650. Halford and Brough of the Morning is brought to you by the Dilawri family of Acura dealers. Experience the Dilawri difference today by visiting your nearest Dilawri Acura dealer today. Hour 3 of the program. We are right in the middle of it. Hour three of the program is brought to you by Campbell & Pound Real Estate Appraisers. Trust the expertise of Campbell & Pound. Visit them on the internet at campbell-pound.com today. We're done with our What We Learns, correct? Jason, we're good?
I was going to do one more.
Oh.
I learned that players in the NFL can now wear the number zero.
Really?
They brought that in. Yeah, it's a new rule. I think they were running out of numbers, so they were like, let's add one, zero.
I know they've dramatically rejigged the number rules in the NFL. You got single-digit linebackers.
They've been allowed to wear zero in the CFL for a while, right?
I guess. I don't even know.
Hockey, you still can't, right?
Hockey, you can't. No.
Biron wore it in his rookie year, and then they told him to stop it.
I might be wrong on the CFL, but I feel like I'm right. That's how I go through life. I feel like I'm right about this.
That's pretty much the 100%. This is the show's ethos.
The Korean leagues and baseball have triple digit uniforms.
Get out of here.
I wonder if they're going to have to go to that at some point.
111 on the back of the jersey.
I think in the NFL it's a problem because they got so many players, right?
Yeah. And they retire a lot of numbers.
Yeah.
All the good ones are gone.
The best zeros were in the NBA. That I remember, like Robert Parrish,
Robert
the
Parrish
Chief,
was a good double zero.
Wearing double zero. Yep. Benoit Benjamin wore zero for the Grizzlies. And I think throughout his career.
Singular zero or double zeros?
I think he was singular zero, but I'm not 100% sure. I think, do you remember Kevin Duckworth?
Oh, yeah, the Duck Man. Benoit Benjamin was a double. They were both double zero guys.
And Kevin Duckworth was double zero for Portland.
Yep.
And probably throughout his career, right? Mm-hmm.
Did you guys, since we're on the topic of jersey numbers, did you see that there was an article about Michael Backlund about a week ago? I think he played his 900th game.
I know where you're going with this.
And there was a story about how Daryl Sutter, he was the GM when Backlund was initially drafted, changed his number to number 11 because he felt like it made him look taller.
Yeah, he was number 60.
That was the reason.
And then he went to number 11 because
he looked taller.
Sutter, and he's right, the long number ones, they elongate the torso. Football players do this. Wide receivers do this to appear taller as well.
So goalies should start just wearing number one. Luongo had it right.
If Cheech wore number 11 during his career, he would have been like a 6'8" goalie. That's just how it works.
I've never heard of that in my life, being a thing.
That's one of the more old school things. That's like Lou Lamoriello not letting guys have high numbers. It's so dumb, it's smart. It's so stupid, it's brilliant. That's where it is.
All right, give us a Mookie on that.
We got every single factoid right about WrestleMania 3. By the way,
wow,
it was impressive for us. Was at the Pontiac, rarely.
These guys don't know much, but they know WrestleMania 3.
They weren't wrong for once.
It was at the Pontiac Silverdome. It did set an indoor attendance record, and it was maybe the greatest card in wrestling history because in the span of four matches, we had the Ricky the Dragon Steamboat Randy Savage victory for Ricky the Dragon Steamboat, a 15-minute epic, widely regarded as one of the greatest wrestling matches of all time. So he won the Intercontinental Championship, and then two matches after that, Hulk defeated Andre the Giant with the body slam heard around the world.
Mm-hmm.
What a card.
That would have been funny if he put his back out trying to body slam Andre the Giant.
I'm surprised that didn't happen more. That when you watch... Especially in the 80s when everyone was doing cocaine and steroids like crazy, like you would think that one guy would be like, ah, my back.
Don't move. Nobody move.
Yeah, like Andre the Giant. I mean, he was a big guy. I don't know what else to tell you. Okay, now let's get to the humanoids. Let's start with the winner, shall we? What's this guy's name, Andy? He didn't attach his name, but we still kept him in because it was a good text.
It's Evan.
Evan. Evan is from the Okanagan. And he's got one of the most wide-ranging What We Learns ever. So he asks first, one, what we learned, can Andy now sing all of the intros for every guest because he has the voice of an angel? Should we play it? I feel like
your
we
voice can't... is like a combination of Fergie and Jesus.
I've been called the songbird of my generation.
Get the Faber intro ready and we'll play it because that was what he's alluding to here. Evan then writes, I'm also driving down to Vancouver from the Okanagan today. And would love to see the Canucks play after enduring years of you guys playing Kelowna-fornia every Friday. I do kind of wonder from time to time what Kelowna folk think of us playing Kelowna-fornia. Because on the one hand, it's an homage to barbed wire tattoos and jet skis and wraparound.
The listenership just drops off in Kelowna for some reason,
but
according to my stats.
They also know that we're also very subtly...
I bet they're like, they get us.
They get us. You know what? Alfred and Bref really get us. They got tap out board shorts too.
We like tattoos. We like jet skis and occasionally steroids.
Yep.
That's what we like.
Tattoos of jet skis.
Okay.
How did he know?
Back.
They got us pegged, man.
What a boost.
Friggin' boost.
Do we have Andy doing the Faber song?
I mean, you're going to hear it every time Faber's on the show.
We need to do it, though.
You don't have to overplay it. He's got the dog in him, live from Abbotsford. Chris Faber. He's got the dog in him, live from Abbotsford. It's Faber. It's Faber.
Chris Faber is not coming on. Don't get your hopes up, people.
Okay, that's enough.
Okay, he then ends the text by saying, also, is there any chance you can swap out California for Jason's wind noise?
Probably not. No, the wind noise just comes out once in a while.
Can you do
it?
It's a little bit.
This is like Bart. It is super crazy how good that is.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't want to turn you into like a circus freak. It's like, do the thing.
No, it's okay. You should do it.
Yeah. Bart,
almost,
say the line.
I almost kind of choked there. I was just like, my lips started quivering.
But yeah, they did.
All dried up all of a sudden.
Yeah. But here's the thing. It's hard to perform like at the snap of a finger like that.
Sure.
But you've never botched it. The next one you're going to absolutely screw up now. But every time we ask for the wind sound effect, you're like the guy from Police Academy. You just come through.
All right, let's read some more what we learned.
Congrats to Evan, by the way. Enjoy the game.
Are you done?
Sorry about California.
From Gary, middle name Gary, last name Garrison. What we learned, BC Place is starting to cater to the everyday man. What, like the elites that have gone there for years? They have announced a $5 menu at select kiosks.
I'm going on Friday or Saturday. I'm going to the Whitecaps game, so I will give a detailed reportage.
On the menu, hot dogs, nachos, popcorn, and beer. Well, I bet that's a giant beer. You can't beat the Costco dog, but this is a great start. What's so weird, and I find it odd, is that BC Place is the one that does these menu items. It's like, normally you're just kind of like, shouldn't the team do something?
Yeah, but the team can't.
That's the worst thing about the deal they've got there.
It's
that
one
Pavco runs everything.
Correction.
And by the way,
it's one of the worst things about the deal.
You know how I take my hot dogs seriously?
Yep.
Okay?
Yeah.
What?
I take hot dogs very seriously, whether I'm getting one at a game, whether I'm getting one at Costco before the game.
You're a connoisseur.
Especially when I'm on the golf course.
Big fan of the tubed meat.
Like, I had a hot dog yesterday at UBC, and it was, I don't know, like a 7 out of 10.
It's passable.
Not great.
That's a
BC Place hot dogs are the worst hot dogs in the world.
Shots fired.
Wow.
They are
the world.
Awful.
Worst wieners.
Now, oftentimes it's because they're cold, but if you get a hot dog at BC Place and you open up the wrapper and you look at the wiener, you're just like, half the time I bet people are like, I'm not eating this. There are oftentimes it's undercooked, overcooked, like sometimes the wiener's missing. Like it is honestly.
It seems like a key.
It is
problem.
It is honestly
the hot dog.
The worst hot dogs, and I gotta stop eating them every time. I'm like, all right, maybe it'll be better this time. Maybe it'll be better this time.
You gotta get to Costco before the game.
Up your game, BC Place.
How would you rank the Nat Bailey ones?
Great,
very good,
fantastic.
Because I love those ones.
I mean, I don't need the 4 foot long one.
I'll share one.
Despite the countless. Moments of innuendo.
You and Halford could eat it together.
Yeah, despite the countless moments of innuendo there that I could have jumped on, I'm going to take the high road, and I'm going to say that...
You're not going to jump on the wiener.
No, that wiener will not be made fun of. He's got a point, because we live in an era where too many people have elevated that type of cuisine to the point where if you have a hot dog that was cooked 2 hours ago and has been sitting in foil, and it's just, and you open it up and you're like, really?
Yeah, Bruff keeps eating them. It's like this time. Oh, nope.
Next time. No, he eats wieners everywhere. There's innuendo. It's very, very puzzling that a gigantic grocery store across the street from the arena could do a perfectly competent hot dog. Mm. It's not that hard to do it reasonably well.
They're terrible.
Yeah. Awful. So you can't come in that low, right? You got to aim high.
Why doesn't BC Place get a team up with Costco and
do a
sponsorship thing?
Now you're thinking.
You can have the Costco hot dogs in BC Place. There you go. Free ad, free deal for you there.
Doesn't Costco lose like major money on those hot dogs?
Yeah. They're a loss leader for sure. But they're just like, we're not raising the price. This is one of the things that we do.
It's a draw.
Yeah. Exactly.
Yeah. Because I know, now that we're down this road, they have a kid's meal. At BC Place.
At BC Place?
Yeah, and I think it's like $6.50, and it said chicken strips and fries. So I was like, oh, we'll go check it out.
Sounds delicious.
False advertising, because it's not chicken strips, it's chicken strip.
Oh, just one strip?
One. I'm like, who's this feeding?
How many fries, like 10?
Yeah, it's like a meal for ants.
Mm-hmm. I don't know. How to make your child cry meal?
Yeah. Anyway, so
hopefully
this $5 menu, they do have beers for $5, which is kind of cool. So hopefully this $5 menu works. I'll tell you on Monday. Because I'll be there on Saturday.
Juan from Comox, what I learned, Alphonso Davies is worth four times more than the entire Honduran national team. That would have never happened 10 years ago. How the tables have turned.
Oh, the turntables. Yeah, no, it is really remarkable when you watch them now. And I know it's probably not for some, because some are maybe come late to the party and they're like, Canada's really good at soccer. I was there for when they lost 8-1 to Honduras. I wasn't actually in Pedro Sansula. I was watching it on television. But
that was really embarrassing.
I witnessed Canada get eviscerated.
Do you remember the optimism surrounding the team going down there?
It was unbelievable. They were all excited about getting to the hex. We're going to beat Honduras. And then they didn't just lose. They had they were on the wrong end of one of the most famous Honduran victories ever.
Yeah.
I guess a big moment in Honduras is whipping Canada 8-1.
You guys move around topics too quickly. All of our texts right now are about hot dogs.
Yeah, fair.
Torgi and Langley, what we learned, the Oilers, moving on to the actual sports, are going to have 300-point players.
Yeah, Nuge, baby. He's having a year.
Nuge had 5 points last night.
Nuge is right
there. Obviously, McDavid and Draisaitl are already there. McDavid has 143 points. Draisaitl has 116. Where is Nuge? Is he officially at the 100-point mark?
He's the sixth leading scorer in the NHL, Nuge. He has 96 points.
He's got 96 points, so he's still got four to go.
They have three of the top six scorers in the NHL. McDavid's one. Draisaitl's two, and Nuge is sixth. Nuge is right between Tkachuk and McKinnon. He's had the most quiet, amazing scoring campaign in recent memory. Someone texted in about it earlier. It wasn't even what we learned. They're just like, I can't believe that they're going to have three 100-point guys. And it was like, he even had to look up the fact that Nugent Hopkins was having this kind of year. It's pretty remarkable.
Peter in Cloverdale with an Ask Us Anything, and we'll allow it. Is hiring Hextall in Pittsburgh like hiring Messier as the general manager in Vancouver? I don't think so.
I thought it was a weird fit. I get where he's going with this.
But I don't think Ron Hextall as a player had a particularly big rivalry with the Penguins. I could be off on this.
No, he didn't.
He had more rivalries with he had the big fight with Chelios, Montreal. Mm-hmm. But I don't think the Penguins, when Hextall played for them, were particularly good.
He put it this way. He was a very prominent and very violent member of the
Philly.
The Penguins' biggest rival.
Yes.
So it fits in a certain way. But it's not like there's any great moments in Flyers-Penguins rivalry history that feature Ron Hextall.
Right.
If that makes sense. Conversely, I think if you're going to do a list of the greatest villains in Canucks history, Messier's like one, two, or three.
Yeah, because not only did he beat them in the Stanley Cup final, then he came to Vancouver, and unless you're Thomas Drantz, you admit that he underperformed in Vancouver.
Yeah, and I think Hextall's dad played for the Penguins, if I'm not mistaken.
You're just throwing that out there?
No, I'm pretty sure.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is that Brian?
His grandfather, Brian Hextall Jr.
Okay.
Yeah. If I'm not mistaken.
I didn't even know he had a relation to a previous NHL player.
Unless Wikipedia is lying to me. And why would the internet ever not have factual information, correct factual information on that?
What we learned on Sign Text, we are not talking enough of about JT Miller and how he's turned his season around. He's back-checking and carrying a line with a depreciating asset in Besser and a 4A player in Phil DiGiuseppe. Miller is playing terrific.
We've only got so much bandwidth on the show, and a lot of it we dedicate to hot dogs, so it's tough to talk about JT Miller. I know we're not talking enough about him, but he's having a tremendous year. He was very close to having one of the iconic Canucks scoring seasons last year. He almost had 100.
Here's a question for you.
Okay.
Do you think Tocchet has come in with a completely new system and structure, or has he just kind of said, hey, stop doing dumb stuff? Like, I feel like the latter is almost more relevant because some of the things that the Canucks were doing earlier in the season has nothing to do with structure or a system. They were just making these, as Taka would say, like these home run pass attempts, or let's call them Hail Marys, that were getting picked off. Like, they played like Brett Favre down three touchdowns.
Yeah.
Do you know what I mean? Like, do you remember when, like, or any quarterback down three touchdowns where you're just like, well, I got to throw the ball. And, you know, this pass probably has a pretty bad chance of being completed. But, like, what have I got to lose? But the Canucks would be making those plays when they were up three goals. Like, they just played so irresponsibly. And in some ways, I think, like, I'm sure Tocchet has added some structural things. Yeah. But I remember when he first came in, he's like, I can't throw too much. Like, you can't completely change the system. I can't throw everything. I think a lot of it has just been like, I don't know if the message on like on the whiteboard would be like, stop doing so much dumb stuff.
I think that comes from the relationships that he builds with the players. Because the impression that I get, having heard him talk and having talked to people that are around the team, is that they are constantly checking in with guys. And that's why Foot and Gonchar are so important to this, because they're constantly working. And it's not just working on the ice, but it's like, let's have a meeting Tuesday morning and then another one Tuesday afternoon. And then another one was, I think Boudreau was more of like, come to the practice and then go do whatever you want to do. I'm going to the mall.
But I think Tocchet has simplified things. Do you remember AV would always talk about the high percentage pass?
Yeah.
Like, he wanted he wanted his defenseman to just make the easy pass. You didn't have to make the long stretch pass. Just put it in the hands of the forwards, right? And preferably just do it in the most simple way, and they'll take care of things. That was one of the things that he was always on Keith Ballard for. This is why Keith Ballard was always in the doghouse, because Keith Ballard tried to do too much out there because he was a good skater and he wanted to make things happen. And I think Tocchet has come in and just been like, hey, guys, like, let's just play hockey somewhat responsibly as opposed to the way that you were playing before.
We got a what we learned here from Mike Ticket. I think he wanted to do the ticket emoji, but he just signed it.
Good old Mike Ticket.
Mike Ticket, one of my favorites.
Not to be confused with Mike Kitchen.
Mike Ticket, hashtag WWO.
Mr. Ticket.
Mr. Ticket was my father. Please call me Mike. Hashtag WWO, what we learned. The Canucks are in better shape than the Calgary Flames long term. I don't know what's going to happen with Calgary this year, but they've suddenly become.
I agree with
that. I think. But here's the thing. If Calgary makes the playoffs, that is not a team that you want to face in the first round.
No, they aren't.
They're
especially if they get in on that emotional high of making the playoffs.
Because I'll tell you what's happening right now, that it's kind of starting to percolate a little bit. Markey's starting to get hot. I don't know if you watched him last night against they beat the Kings.
Yeah, 2-1.
And the Kings have been a buzzsaw. Mm-hmm. He was great. He only allowed the one goal. He made two huge saves late to kind of – it was one of those 2-1, 3-2 games that Sutter always talks about.
They are the type of team, if they get the goaltending, they could suffocate you.
So they're right in it. And here's what I'm saying. If Winnipeg biffs it and misses and Calgary sneaks in, that is maybe the worst case scenario if you're the number one seed. Like, that's the last thing you want to have earned from having this great regular season, is you got to play this Calgary team that kind of underachieved all year and might be getting hot in the playoffs. I'm just saying. Okay, that music means we got to go.
This has been a fun show. I'm working on like 3 hours of sleep, so I'm going to go home and nap for a bit.
You've earned it, friend.
You should do 3 hours of sleep every night. That's the key. You've unlocked the key.
Hit the sweet spot today.
Just completely loopy.
Yeah. Most doctors say that 2 to 3 hours sleep is the appropriate
amount.
It's
the healthy way to go, yeah.
Anyway, we got to go for now, but we'll be back tomorrow unless Jason sleeps through it. Signing off, I have been Mike Halford. He's been Jason Brough. He's been A-Dog, and he's been Laddie. This has been the Halford and Brough Show on Sportsnet 650.